Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by...
Bon viveur, man about town, roustabout, Pete Donaldson. Welcome.
That'll be the first and last time we use that introduction.
Bigging yourself up.
Bigging yourself up.
Man about town.
You know what I was going to say?
Dr. Handsome.
I was going to say, man who likes Japan.
Yeah, the man who likes Japan.
The man who likes Japan.
You are jet-lagged, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm jet-lagged still. Hello, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to 2020.
Holy moly.
Exciting numbers.
Welcome to the year of the Olympics, where the pigs will be.
Olympics?
Olympics. I think that was a video game back in the day. Which genuinely started with the game title and then worked backwards.
Speaking of video games, have you mastered the retro Pac-Man that I gave you as a present last week?
I have, yeah, listen.
Still got it. For those of you that missed last week's episode, I did buy Pete a retro Pac-Man video game. You can see it on the Abroad Perspective YouTube channel, second channel.
Apparently, a lot of the ghosts in this...
And you died
me.
Very quickly.
No, that's me winning. That's me winning a level. That's the noise it makes.
Yes.
Apparently, all of the animals, ghosts have names. They each have.
Yeah, they do. Blinky and Steve and Pete and
Isn't
Roger.
That incredible.
There you go.
Aquare.
How do you feel about 2020,
mate? The year is full of promise for me. I'm hoping to acquire more bruises, more cuts, more grazes,
more bruises and cuts.
Hope to separate my carotid artery at some point.
And to come to Japan.
And to come to Japan as well, yeah. I'll be over in February, hopefully.
Fantastic.
Hopefully.
I don't even know where I'm going to be in February.
It's going to be cold, though, isn't it? It's going to be cold.
It is.
I'm being foolish, aren't I?
I don't know when you're coming in February, but I'm going with Natsuki to the Sapporo Snow Festival.
Oh, cool. When's that?
That is the first week of February. It's the greatest festival in Japan I've never been.
Why don't I go up?
Yeah. Come along.
First week of February. First week of February is...
Put it in the calendar.
I'm going to put it in the calendar.
Hang on.
So, literally, I'm going to be landing, I reckon, on the 4th, which is the first week proper of February.
Okay. Well, we can make that happen.
Let's do it. Let's do a snow bombing.
Let's do a snow.
Snow bombing.
Let's do a snow.
Let's do a snow.
But it's good to see you guys. I hope you've had a good Christmas. I hope you've had a lovely time. I came into the studio today to see Pete. I am in the UK over the Christmas holidays. I came in to get a hero's welcome from Pete Donaldson, having travelled thousands of miles to be here from Japan.
Yep.
The rice fields of rural Japan to the centre of the British Empire.
The dirt and the filth, the smog and the nonsense.
I burst into the studio waiting for an incredible reception. Mm. Champagne glasses, red carpets, fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And all I could hear was... And there was Pete Donaldson flailed on a sofa, face down, sleeping. And because it's a building, we need like a key card to get in. I had to like break in James Bond style.
Yeah.
I had to time it. So when other people came into the building, I'd sort of stood it. I stood by the door, timing it meticulously so I could sneak in as other people use their cards.
Yeah.
Just because Pete was asleep, couldn't let me in.
I was having a little snooze.
Pete is rubbish.
I was having a little snooze.
Not only that, but I'm still waiting on a Christmas present.
I was three podcasts deep at that point, so I'd been toiling all morning, and I just
don't make
a little
it sound difficult. Podcasts are easy. Talking on a microphone,
yeah, but not when you're doing like one about nonsense, the next one's about football, the other one's about nonsense. I went round some guy's house, a guy called Rich, who works for a rival radio station, XFM or Radio X now, I think they call it. And I went round his house and recorded a podcast over Skype in his house. in Bermondsey.
Oh.
Have a bit of that.
And that's your excuse for falling asleep and not bringing me a Christmas present.
Tis the Christmas season. I've had too much green ginger wine.
Oh, dear.
Too much picky tea. Do you have picky tea in your house?
I don't know what that is.
It's just like leftovers and bits and bobs. You just find like a load of cheese, crackers, fruit.
Is that like a northern preserved UK thing?
All kinds of stuff. Just a picky tea where it's just like, pick at it.
It's like a different country where you're from.
As I get older, I'm increasingly realising that it really is and all.
It's a strange place. Oh, it's a strange place. Mm. I look awful.
Oh.
Look at my shoe.
You know, no,
you know what I didn't get for Christmas
is that,
this year?
Is that an Imperial Armani?
I've got, right?
Have you got Armani trainers?
I've got Armani trainers. As you
Hello.
Know, I spent about $5 a year, £5 whatever, on clothes.
Yeah.
I don't like buying things. I'm very stingy and terrible. I'm basically Scrooge.
Right.
But slightly better looking.
But you've got...
And this is the one thing I bought this year, ladies and gentlemen.
Armani
I bought
shoes.
Some, I can't even pronounce it, Emporio Armani shoes, because I always buy the crappiest shoes from like a pound store, a dollar store. And this is the one thing I bought. They're like £120 for these lovely shoes, and there's a hole in them now.
Oh, no.
Well, can't you see the hole? Look at that.
Where?
There.
Oh, in the top. Yeah, it was canvas, though, isn't it?
It's awful.
You point your shoe. Cut your toenails once in a while.
I was hoping Father Christmas was going to bring me some brand new Emporio Armani shoes. And all I got was some socks.
So disposable. Like, there's no reason why that couldn't be fixed. Well, it annoys me, that sort of thing, doesn't it?
You can fill the hole of Father Christmas when I come back into the studio next week.
What size are you?
I am size 10.
Jesus.
Yeah, big feet.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, let's dive in to the news of the week.
All
we
right,
kick off 2020 with some news, some encouraging news for the world of love and romance. There was a study recently by a Japanese career website called Shigyo Job. I think means employment.
Oh, like Shigoto means job, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, Shigyo means like employment.
Shigyo. Ah.
So they've used not only a Japanese word, but an English word. Shigyo Job.
Busy.
It's clever, that.
Busy. Lot going on there.
It's a study. And they found that, they found the four jobs that Japanese women like in a guy.
Ooh.
And now, without looking at the notes, I want you to guess what they are. What is the most popular job? I want to marry a man who is number one.
And this
is
CEO of Amazon.
Not Jeff Bezos.
Right.
42% of women said this is the one thing they want in a guy. This is the career they want their husband to have. What is it?
Sex instructor. I'm joking. We've done this sort of thing before where it always surprises you what Japanese women want.
It is always a surprise.
Is it something like coffee shop barista or something?
No, that was on the list though, wasn't it?
That was on the list of attractive jobs.
26 traits Japanese girls want in a guy. I remember we did that in August, didn't we? Mm. And that was, for some reason they want a barista.
Right.
There's something romantic about
a barista. Do they want manager of something?
It's not a manager, no.
Ooh,
the profession involves construction.
Construction? Architect?
Yes!
Cool.
42% of Japanese women want a husband who is an architect.
Who's an architect.
Because it's a job that mixes both creative and technical aspects.
Ah, that's cool.
Has a kind of popular image of combining the world of artistic expression
and also, virtuoso, kind of like, I want this pole to go up here.
That's what an architect says.
I want this facade to do this.
Exactly.
I want to leave blueprints all around the house.
That's what an architect does. And they've got some quotes from the women that did the survey about why an architect fits the criterion.
Yeah.
Quotes that include, we can plan how to build our ideal house together.
Oh, that's sweet. I guess houses over there are quite, each house and a row of houses will invariably be different unless you're in a massive complex. Like all of the designs are different if they're built from the ground up.
Yeah. And
no uniformity, is there?
Japanese houses are pretty disposable. They tend to be knocked down after 20, 30, 40 years because they're made of wood, balsa wood, which is like a world away from the UK where everything's made of bricks.
Mm.
They kind of get knocked down. There's a sense that they get changed quite frequently.
Yeah.
So architects are in high demand, I think. But another quote, I've always wanted to live in a comfortable, enjoyable house and I could have him design it for me. I think he'd do a lot of do-it-yourself projects for me and he'd probably make a lot of money and he'd take care of a lot of things when we build our house.
Oh.
That's what an architect does.
And nice.
That is why 42% of Japanese women want to date and marry an architect.
Well,
an architect, Pete?
If a girl is asking, yes.
What do you do?
We all know what
architect.
To pretend. Architect. Oh, what have you designed? Oh, loads. You know the shard? Have you had the shard? That was me.
What's the second profession?
After
this is 26% of Japanese women want this profession for their husband. Married guy that does this. Age between 20 to 39.
Fireman.
No, quite the opposite.
Fire?
Unless you're fighting a metaphorical fire.
Right. Just a guy. I don't know.
A lawyer.
Oh, right. Hey. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, lawyer.
See what I did there?
Yeah,
metaphor.
Yeah, nice.
Right. Clever, isn't it?
And then...
A lawyer.
And then after that, it's probably like... Banking enthusiast.
Close. Tax accountant.
Tax accountant.
Tax accountant.
That's boring though, isn't it?
Well, a lot of my friends are accountants.
How are you going to get much chat about that?
Yeah, I've never really understood the appeal. I think if you like maths, you know, if you listen to this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, and you are an accountant, please tell us the appeal. And I'm not saying that in a snarky, twatty, horrible way.
I
think I was always bad at maths. I'm not a numbers person. But I think if you like numbers and moving numbers
and
around...
And if you do know any accountants, my accountant is sometimes a little slow on the uptake and has to pay fines out of his own pocket because he keeps forgetting to file stuff.
That is probably not a good accountant.
No.
And interestingly, the fourth thing on the list, so architect, 42% of Japanese women want to marry an architect, 26% want to marry a lawyer, 11% want to marry a tax accountant, and 8% want to marry a certified public accountant.
Wow, the certification.
Wow. The next level
God,
up.
These, all these jobs are keeping me the real horn, Chris. It's really exactly. Sexy.
would you, out of those four professions, would I'd you rather marry an architect, a lawyer, tax accountant, or a certified public accountant?
Architect means travel for me, so yeah, definitely
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you on that one. Yeah. Although lawyer could be useful.
Right.
Could, you never know. Yeah, a sticky situation.
Yeah, but haven't in the Japanese system, isn't like 99% of the cases that get to court?
It's crime.
Well, once they get to court, it's really easy, isn't it?
Well,
he clearly did it. I mean, 1% of people get off in the Japanese court system.
I think that tells us more about the flawed state of Japan's judicial system than anything.
Did you see they were something like 221st in the equality league tables, Japan? This week. Incredible.
It's not a surprise, really.
No, it really isn't. I think it is to people who don't keep an eye. I think to you or I, we see these stories every day.
If you are a woman in Japan, you still have a pretty big uphill battle in everything you do, unfortunately. And, you know, one of the reasons the rate of the birth rate is so low is because as a woman, you basically have to choose. Do you want to have a family or do you want to have a career?
Yeah, you can't
have
both.
It's really hard for women in Japan to have both.
Yeah.
You know, they have to choose. And it's a shame.
It is a shame.
They've got to sort that out. Miserable. Fix their economy.
Bloody miserable.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Anyway, we've got a message here from Becky. He says, "Hey, Chris and Pete, I'm Becky from Somerset in England, and I finally caught up with the podcasts after binging on them on my journey to and from work as a chef at a boarding school. I'm visiting Japan for 3 weeks next summer, and I'll be going to Kobe, Osaka, Hiroshima, Kyoto, and finally ending up in Tokyo, where I'll be staying for 10 nights during the 2020 Olympics. I've managed to get tickets for 3 women's artistic gymnastic events, 6 football matches, both men and women, a trampolining final, and a hockey match."
Wow. That's a good mix, isn't it?
Did you have to pay for these tickets? Was it free?
Great little mix, that.
"I have all my accommodation booked, as well as my flights, so I'm pretty well organised. I'm just wondering whether you and Pete were planning on doing a special podcast dedicated to the Olympics nearer the time to give any hints and tricks for those of us that will be in Tokyo during the Games. Much love, Becky." And she says, "P.S. I will be in Kobe on my 25th birthday, the 15th of July. So if either of you fancy celebrating with me, I'll supply the Kobe beef and Strong Zero. Your two favourite things."
Sounds
Pete.
Like a plan. Sounds like a plan. Oh, Strong Zero is a bit
Strong
much.
Zero. We had that, didn't we, in our Osaka trip.
We did. I do occasionally get pictures of people going, "Why are you, man?"
I still get like daily videos of people going to Osaka in the American Mura, the little American square, going, "Oh, we're doing what you did." We should do that. When you come to Japan a few weeks or months, we should like a treasure hunt. We're on Japan. Podcast treasure hunt, leave like little trail of stickers and excitement.
Well, somebody made you some stickers, I saw.
But that's true.
Yeah,
I did get some Natsuki stickers for Christmas.
Natsuki stickers.
I'm putting those to good use. But on the subject of the Olympics,
right.
I'm going to hide away from Tokyo during the Olympics. I may even leave the country. I'm not sure. I suspect Tokyo and Japan is just going to be insane during the Olympics.
Have you got plans on where you're going to be going?
I'm going to be in a cave in Hokkaido.
Atlantis. I've been hearing great things about Atlantis.
I'm going to be in a cave in Hokkaido with a bottle of Strong Scotch. Zero and some Kobe beef. We will do something. Obviously, we're going to have lots of foreign tourists going to Japan, so we will do everything in our power to make sure you guys are prepared and get the most out of your trip. We'll be throwing tips and tricks at you and places to go off the beaten path and sneaky places in between.
Cool.
Sneaky places like Bar Rockaholic. Pete's favourite bar in Shibuya.
Right, it's the second Bar Rockaholic, but I've never been to it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Life goals. But we will be doing stuff on it, Becky. But you've put everyone to shame. Everyone else I've spoken to has said, "Oh, I want to go to Tokyo in the Olympics. Should I book a hotel?" And yes, you should. If you're going to Tokyo for the Olympics, for the love of God, do
for
it now.
For the love of God, book a hotel.
If you are going and you haven't booked a hotel, right here, right now, go and do it. Booking.com. This isn't sponsored by Booking.com.
No, it's not.
My favourite one. But like go
having a go at me about Coolish.
Right now,
unsponsored.
Go and do it.
Booking.com, they've got deep pockets.
Let's get a Booking.com sponsorship.
All right then, fine.
Goal for 2020. What we got next? Alex from Maidstone.
Oh, Alex from Maidstone. Let me just get my. I didn't get any files.
Right, I'll do it.
You do it. Sorry,
you're fired.
I'd put my bloody phone
Hi,
down,
Chris and
I?
Pete. Been listening to the start. Been listening since the start, and have been watching the channel since I was at university back in 2013. Wow, I feel old now.
Sexy.
7 years. This is gonna be my 8th year as a YouTuber. It's mental.
Jeez. I don't
know how quick it's gone. It's insane. Since then, though, I've becoming more and more interested with all things Japanese, and decided to apply to the JET program earlier this year, the Japan Exchange Teaching Program. To my surprise, I got an email through last week telling me that I have an interview at the Japanese Embassy in early January. Whoa, it's just a few weeks away. I'm shitting it, to say the least. I know that both of you have applied to the JET program in the past, and Chris, you were obviously successful. I was obviously successful.
Obviously successful,
obviously.
Chris Broad.
So I wanted to ask you about your experiences with JET. How was the interview? What kinds of questions should I be preparing for? Any other general advice on how to not completely fuck it up? Cheers, Alex from Maidstone.
If you want some advice on how to completely fuck it up, come to me. That's
of course,
what I would
both
say.
Pete and I did apply to JET.
Yeah.
Only one of us got through.
Yeah, I didn't really very well.
You know the reason I got through?
Sexual favours.
You damn you. No.
Give him a little Pac-Man arcade machine.
I think the only reason I got through, Fukushima.
Right.
Because I applied in 2012, I came on the JET programme.
Yeah.
1 year after Fukushima.
Yeah.
And I reckon, because of Fukushima in 2011, there was less applicants.
Fewer applicants.
Because they thought,
right,
well, Japan might be a radioactive wasteland now. We can't go there. It's
right,
scary.
Okay, yeah.
And so I was like one of four people that went, I'll do it. Yeah. I'm desperate. And I think that's the only reason I got through.
You still have to have some kind of aptitude for the test.
If you look to my CV, it was pretty awful. Mm. I did like a teaching workshop at my university where I learned nothing of value. I went to a Japanese class for like a day and I learned how to say, "Watashi wa krisu desu," which is something you don't even really say.
No.
But I blagged it. I wrote on my application that I read loads of books about Japan.
I wrote about
a book that I read about Wabi Sabi.
Is it architecture or something, or like live your life?
It's a Buddhist aesthetic.
Right.
Wabi Sabi. Yes. Go and look it up. Wabi Sabi. Wabi Sabi. Sounds cool. Rhymes.
I think for a non-teacher, it's actually quite hard to figure out what an actual, when you've not been in a classroom properly for like 4 years at university. I mean, you've been to lectures and stuff like that, but it's not really practical teaching. I think it's really hard to sort of figure out what they want to see from you from a lesson plan. So I think it's worth researching that side of things.
Did you have to do a lesson plan? Because I know a lot of people that did.
I think we did, yeah, but I didn't do it very well.
Whatever your background's in, they'll tailor your interview to that. So if you've said you've had extensive teaching experience, we've done teaching before, they will make you do a lesson on the spot. And I've heard people do that.
Okay.
If I'd had to do that, it would have been a shit show. Yeah. I'd have been thrown out the embassy in front of a bus. It would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
I don't even know how I got through. I think just because I was smiley and happy. Mm. And again, just lucky timing. Mm. And why didn't you get through?
Bad planning.
No sleep.
Just general shyness and unprofessionalism. All the major tenets of an unsuccessful life.
I've met with the people that run the JET program in London. They're very nice people. And it seems like they have an onslaught of CVs and applications come to them, you know, hundreds, thousands, and they have to go through. And what they generally look for are three things. One, some sort of teaching experience. Two, an interest in Japan.
Mm.
And three, just your personality, if you're kind of a outgoing, exciting, loud
extrovert
kind of person. And so just show that you've got tangible experience in at least one of those things.
Mm.
If you're interested in Japan, maybe you've been there. Maybe you've done a martial art. They love people who've done a martial art.
Really?
If you've learned Japanese to a decent degree, maybe a university course or something, then you will really boost your chances. I'd say that's the number one way. If you speak any Japanese to a proficient level, that's the main factor.
Massively.
Probably that's number one. And then prior teaching experience, number two. But mostly they look for people that love Japan.
Right.
And a lot of people that do get on the JET program pretty much slip the net. Because I find a lot of people that love Japan deeply might not be the most suitable for teaching.
Well,
it's two very different skill sets.
Massively. Exactly. Just because you love cars doesn't mean you can drive them all.
Exactly.
Okay.
But there you go. Yep. I don't know. Just show you've got tangible experience, Alex, in the fields of teaching, loving Japan, and being an extrovert. Hopefully.
Give them both barrels.
On. But it is bloody scary. Don't drink too much caffeine before you go in because it will give you heart palpitations, as I found. But keep us posted, Alex. Let us know how you got on. And best of luck, mate. Good luck.
Lovely old job.
Hey, Chris and Pete. I found the podcast after becoming a fan of Chris's YouTube channel after finding his Things Not to Do in Japan video. And I spent the next few weeks religiously watching every video on the channel to prepare for my first trip to Japan in January, February. My question relates to another video on the channel, which Chris recommends, Mori Tower, I think, for his best view in Tokyo, as you can see Tokyo Tower. I was wondering if you would recommend going at day or night. I'm a man of simple pleasures, one of which is seeing a city landscape lit up at night, and I intend to be in Roppongi at night at some point anyway. Just as a little extra, here's a great piece of Japanglish I found from a description of a hostel in Kyoto during my research into my trip. Hope you enjoy and keep up the great work with the channel podcast. Luke from Middlesbrough. And he's got an extraction from, I'm guessing it's booking.com or something. Booking.com again.
Jeez.
It's not sponsored by booking.com. it's kind of some sort of promo for the hostel. It says, "Our hostel is opened 15th of April 2017. Our hostel located 7-minute walking from Kyoto Imperial Palace. The subway and bus is the most comfortable for our guest. Our hostel is modern style and the environment is attractive and slightly fine. We provide a breakfast with the all-you-can-eat. We also provide a various service.
We also provided a various service.
I'm struggling. This is a great test. Yeah. Try and read this mental weird shit without laughing. We also provide...
You try and turn it into proper English, don't
I'm
you?
I'm trying my best to make it sound normal.
Yeah.
We also provide a various service. Rental bike service, comfortable shower room for the woman.
Oh!
Free use laundry room and kitchen and so on.
Lovely.
Located in Kyoto, 1 kilometre from Kyoto International Manga Museum. Kyoto Morris Hotel. I don't know why I find that funny. Kyoto's Morris Hostel features air-conditioned rooms with free Wi-Fi throughout the property. Guests can enjoy the on-site bar. Every room has a shared bathroom.
Ooh.
It was 50% awful. But most of it was actually all right. Some of it, a little bit questionable.
Yeah.
I don't know why they thought that would sell it. The line, a hostel was modern style when the environment is attractive and slightly fine.
Mm.
Only slightly fine.
And close to the manga museum as well. Yes. Have you ever been to the manga museum?
That's the one thing people want to do when they go to Kyoto.
Go to the manga museum.
The International Manga Museum.
It's just a library. It's just where people are reading manga ages.
It's not the Fushimi Inari Shrine. It's not the Tokyo Kyoto Monkey Park.
Nope.
It is the manga museum.
The manga museum. I was there. There was a caterpillar that apparently bites.
What?
A caterpillar that lives in the undergrowth outside the manga museum. It said, please don't touch me, I bite.
How do you know that?
It was a sign that said, please don't touch
me. Have you been there?
I've been in the manga museum. Yeah.
Oh, you've been there?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like just a lot of people reading manga. It's mental.
Don't go to the manga museum. Unless you love manga.
Go, it's interesting. There's a couple of like set pieces where there was a really old like 80s manga called Blackjack, I think it's called Blackjack.
Is it about gambling?
No, it's about a boy who I think becomes a famous surgeon after getting in a car accident, I want to say, and he had half of his face replaced by a black man's face. It's pretty top shelf stuff.
Is it like kind of dodgy along the lines of racist dodginess?
It's fairly tame if I remember rightly, but it's you wouldn't get away with having a man that is half black face and half white face.
Why did he become half black and half
maybe
white?
That was the only facial face they had going. I don't know. But it's just, it's a bit much for Western eyes. You're like, what is this? This is awful. But they had a little surgeon's trolley and you could get dressed up in scrubs and take a picture there. So there's a picture of me dressed as a surgeon.
Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, 5 minutes ago, I didn't ever want to go to the Kyoto International Manga Museum. Yeah. But now, that's the only thing I want to do.
But then later,
when I get to
later at night, we went to a bar that was an anime bar. So it was like just a little bar. They had karaoke and, you know, five chair kind of jobby with loads of anime characters everywhere. And the little girl that last behind the bar did manga characters and stuff. She was an artist. And she's like, oh, what's your favourite anime? And I went, I really like Blackjack. She's gone, that is a manga. That is not an anime. Is there an anime out of it? Sorry.
We should probably answer Luke's question. Luke, yes, best place to see Tokyo at day and night. Mori Tower. Roppongi. Have you been there?
No.
Mori Tower, really big skyscraper in Roppongi. YouTube used to be based there, but they moved to Shibuya recently. Yeah. Traitors. But from the top of Mori Tower, it's about 235 metres, and there's a sky deck.
Cool.
A sky deck. It looks like a Bond villain's layer on the roof of a building, and the view is insane. It's right in the middle of Tokyo. For one side, you can see Tokyo Bay and Tokyo Tower. The other side, incredible views of Shibuya, Shinjuku, Imperial Palace. Honestly, I've been up quite a lot of skyscrapers in Tokyo. I've seen most of the observation decks. Mori Tower in Roppongi, easily the bestest in the world ever. Go there and you won't be disappointed. And as for whether you should go at day or night, I recommend going at dusk.
Oh, right in the middle.
4 or 5pm.
Old hedge sitter.
When the sun goes down over Tokyo and the lights come on, oh, it's magic.
Lovely.
It's like a magic.
It's like a magic.
Like a magic. But it's the first podcast for 2020.
I hope you enjoyed
Lots
it.
More to come.
So much easier when we're in the same room.
It is. We're in the same room.
Mm.
For a few more weeks. Enjoy it while you can.
Aye.
But for now, ladies and gentlemen, as always, keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, have yourself a great week and enjoy the first week of 2020.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.